Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, world. You're listening to International Connection Media with your host, American journalist Victoria Gaither. And on the other end of the line is New Zealand broadcaster Stu Frith, who is joining us live in his studio in Foxton Beach, New Zealand. It's great to be with you again, my friend. It's been a couple of weeks.
Maureen and Vicky, yes, it has been a couple of weeks, hasn't it? And yeah, I've missed it, actually. It's been a bit of a lonely time over here in New Zealand.
Well, I guess it's not going to be, for some it will be lonely, for others it won't be, because, of course, breaking news around the world, we just found out a couple of days ago that New Zealand actually made it through 100 days and you had no cases of the coronavirus. But, of course, things have changed. So right now the New Zealand government is basically trying to decide if they're going to go into full lockdown, and that's because since that time of that announcement 2 days ago, you've had, four cases, and now I hear today more cases of the coronavirus. So what's happening over there?
Well, it's been unbelievable. And I tell you what, I'm lost for words, to be really honest. I'm really lost for words. There's been a bit of it going on in New Zealand. The virus has broken out in one family. And both the male and female worked in residence, and so those residents have all been shut down. The workplaces have all been closed. Everybody's got to be tested. Also, there's been somebody had made contact with that family, and they have travelled right down to Rotorua, and it has been spread through some areas down in Rotorua. But Dr. Bloomfield came on radio this morning. I heard him on radio, and he said that he's got a feeling that maybe this virus has been circulating in New Zealand for a couple of weeks. So that is real shocking. You know, here we were, thought we were running clean, and we haven't. We've been hiding behind the bath towel, really, because, it's not as clean as what we all thought it was. So it's a bit of a shocker.
And I also saw a report today, and this was from stuff.co.nz. It said that a Mount Albert grammar student had tested positive for the coronavirus. So, yeah, and I think that's the case that you're talking about, because if you go back 3 days, I mean, New Zealand made headlines around the world, really the envy of the world, because the country, the people, the government has been doing such a fantastic job. But I think it just goes to show that, you know, I think everybody is going to be in it for the long haul. And this virus, it's very difficult to get rid of. It seems to hide and just sort of hang out. And then when you think that you're done with it, hello, it reappears again.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way to get rid of it. There's only one way, and that's an injection, of course. And, of course, we haven't got the stuff to do that yet. So it is a major concern. But it is interesting that you should find that interesting about that student being tested positive. Because this morning on the radio, they were saying that the headmaster of that school wasn't acknowledging who that if that student was positive. So, I tell you what, there's so much mixed drama going on in New Zealand with the news. That's unbelievable. Of course, it's coming up to election time, and there's a big concern. Judith Collins wants the election, who's the leader of the National Party. In the opposition, she wants the election pushed out because it's not giving her enough time to campaign. And so no one knows what's going on yet. I tell you what, if we're in for a lockdown for another week, fortnight, month, whatever it may be, it's going to play havoc with the elections here in New Zealand. It really is.
Well, I think, you know, we're having the same concern and discussion here in America, because President Trump said something. Now, you never know if he's joking or if he's serious about our elections coming up in November. I think, you know, politicians are always going to be politicians no matter where they are in the world, and try to use situations to their advantage. So this may be one of them. And speaking of that Mount Albert student, I have the news information up right now, and it says that that the schoolmaster says that he can't say how many cases that there are right now, that there may be even more cases. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Ardern government does. It says right here the government is giving itself until Friday to decide if it has reconquered Corona-19 or if it's going to shut the country down and basically put everybody back into lockdown. But right now, Auckland, which is the largest city in New Zealand, over a million people are there. They are in level 3, which means they need to work from home. I think you can get takeaway. And you can tell us about all the long lines there at the grocery stores at Countdown, a new world that you've been seeing on television and that we have seen on social media.
Well, yes, and there is. Everybody's panic buying again, which has been absolutely crazy. And I've seen some of the videos of people coming out of the shops, and they're just shopping with greed. You know, they're not thinking about anybody else. They're coming out with shopping baskets, which are not just full of shopping baskets, but shopping baskets which are actually loaded up. So that's very disappointing to see the greed going on like that. And actually, to be quite honest, the one I did see was an elderly lady who I would think would be in her 50s odd, you know, 50 to 60. And I don't think she needed all that toilet paper and tissue rolls and all that she had in that basket. I really don't, you know. And I believe it was getting quite boisterous outside some of the co-ops, you know, with what people were buying and the reaction they were getting with the people who were waiting to go in, because they were getting pretty cheesed off. Mm-hmm. Some of the queues, the testing queues up in Auckland, where they're stopping the motorists and lining up, and of course they've got a lot of bays open. One bay, there's 3 bays working. And they're working long, long hours, pulling in staff a couple of times through the day. There's a queue there. If people are there for 5, 6, 7, and 8 hours waiting to be tested for this virus. So it's a big queue, you know. And Auckland, of course, is shut down to stop people from going out from Auckland and going either way, north or south. So, yeah. They reckon that one with the girl, or the lady, shall I say, who went to Rotorua, they reckon the offspring from that could affect 1,000 people. So that's horrific,
wow.
Isn't it?
Wow, it is. Mm. And of course, you know, it is amazing what a difference 2, 3, 4 days make, because, you know, we would never think that we would be having this discussion today about what's happening there, because things were looking so good. But that just goes to show, you know, you really can't control it, that it has a mind of its own. Now, am I also correct in hearing that you guys will have to be wearing masks, or you're encouraged to wear masks? Because you haven't been wearing masks there in New Zealand.
Well, Auckland, of course, is masks. The rest of the country is voluntary, you know, but I think a lot of people are wearing masks. A lot of people are making their own masks. Out of a lot of different materials, naps, underpants, and goodness knows whatnot. So, sniff what you want to, but you're going to be germ free, we hope. But that's a big thing. And the other thing that is interesting is that, of course, a lot of countries have got unions, and we've got a union here in New Zealand, and evidently the union with the laboratory, who is doing a big amount of the testing for these vaccines, are talking about going on strike because they want more money. Now, how crazy is that? That is absolutely disgusting. And I hope the government steps in and really shuts that union down. You know, there's a lot of people around here who would be really hacked off with that union. And you wouldn't want to mention that you were part of a union movement. Because I tell you what, you'd be sort of taking your life in your own hands, I feel.
Yeah, I just think that's absolutely crazy, especially with what's happening with the pandemic. You need people at this time to be at top speed and not to put politics into it when every New Zealander and every citizen around the world is really fighting for their health and fighting to stay alive. So you're certainly right about that. Just to not switch subjects, but I saw on the news today that Russia says that they have a vaccine, and you heard that there's a country that has already put in orders. Now, it's going to be interesting because I wouldn't want to be the first to try that. Russia is quite shady with a lot of things, so I certainly wouldn't want to be the one to sort of raise my hand and say, hey, over here, I'll go ahead and give it a try. So I guess the world will have to wait and see. But, scientists around the world, and I also think the World Health Organization, they're saying that, that this was rushed and they don't have the actual scientific documentation to prove anything. But, I think the world also knows that Russia always likes to be first when it comes to things. So, even if it works or not, for them to be able to say that we came out with something, first, then, they're probably happy with that. But we shall wait and see when it actually when it comes to that. Switching subjects, still staying in New Zealand, but at a local level, I actually saw on Facebook that the Foxton Surf Life Saving Club has closed one of their events. They postponed their annual quiz night and said that they pushed it out to September the 12th. So that would be just, one of many, many things, events around the country that will now be pushed to September or just probably canceled altogether as a result of things that is actually happening locally. You would certainly agree, wouldn't you?
I certainly would, and I think everybody is sort of running scared at the moment, to be quite honest. Nobody wants to get out there and get involved in meetings or anything else, and I speak from that with the Lions Club, which I'm a member of, and I don't think I think that since we got the virus here in New Zealand, I think the Lions Club has had two meetings, and that's been about it. Mm. Now, here we are, we've got the virus again, so, well, I tell you what, I'm not going to any more meetings, and I don't think anybody else will be either, just as the way it is. But, Vicky, I am surprised that you haven't got any faith in Russia and their vaccine. I am quite surprised about that. I thought you would have been leading the party. I really did. I thought you'd be leading the party.
Well, listen, anyone that knows me personally and anyone that has ever followed my career as a journalist, that would never surprise them. I just don't have any confidence, within that government and that system over there. Now, listen, the world may be shocked and may be surprised because, it would be fantastic if all of us could have a vaccine. So, am I holding my breath at this point? No. Would I be standing in line to take it? No way. Would I wait for other people to take it and see what they say? Absolutely, I would. Staying with New Zealand but getting off of the coronavirus, I was in my local Walmart a couple of weeks ago, and I saw this sign that piqued my attention, and it said Kiwi, and it said New Zealand. Of course, immediately I go right over there, and it was Manuka honey. So this was skincare, also Band-Aids that had medical-grade Manuka honey inside. And not only that, it came from Masterton. So that is not too far. Well, mm-hmm. When I say not too far from where I am, I mean, it really isn't there in Foxton Beach. Within a couple of hours, you can actually be there. So I was quite happy to see that and posted that on Facebook and also the fan page, and everybody started talking about that. And then I found out there was a bit of a concern with Manuka honey because something was found inside. I don't know if it was a batch or, a large amount of the honey over there. Have you heard anything about that?
I think you're talking about the sprays that's been used on paddocks. And, of course, the bees are out there flying around the paddocks and that and getting the stuff on their feet or their legs, whatever you want to call them, and taking it back into the hive. Not on purpose, but, of course, it's like if you go out there and spray the lawn and walk through it with your gumboots on, hello, next thing your gumboots have been sprayed, haven't they? So I think that's what the concern is. And I think that's what the concern is. And the only way to have a organic bees is to have them in a plot with, I think it's about 9 square miles around them where there is no spray. So that's a big area. And that's a hard thing to find here in New Zealand. It really is. It's a hard thing to find. So, yeah, it's a bit of a concern, but that Manuka honey is beautiful. I can speak for myself that honey, I've actually got a jar of Manuka honey here in the house that we got from New Plymouth when we were up in New Plymouth, remember? And
I do.
It's absolutely beautiful. In fact, yesterday morning for breakfast, I actually had wheat bix, no milk, and I just had some honey spread on them, and that was beautiful, you know? So, that was good, and in the last couple of days, or about 3 days, I've been actually trying a little bit on my cheeks, and my skin feels so silky, it's really picking up.
Well, I tell you what, you better save some of that, because you and I know how expensive Manuka honey is. You've seen it coming in and out of the airports. I mean, you're talking $80, $90, $100, and it's nothing to tourists. You know, they grab 2 and 3 at one time. So it really is good stuff. So if you're just joining the conversation, thank you so much for being here. You're listening to International Connection Media with Stu and Victoria. It's always great to have your company, and we do appreciate you taking out the time to be with us. It is 5:46 Eastern Standard Time here in America, and that would be 9:46 a.m. on Thursday in New Zealand. So thank you so much again for being here. Also, staying there, because most of what we're talking about today seems to be there in New Zealand. On Facebook, there is a new cafe that opened up called Humble Pie. I know you haven't been there yet, but I know you plan on going. But I tell you what, the food looks absolutely delicious. Like, I just want to get on an airplane and just come to Humble Pie and have lunch. So one of these days we'll have to get the owner on the show so that she can talk a little bit, you know, about the calf and how it started and about her food. And I was thinking about her because, of course, with the rest of the country besides Auckland being in level 2 lockdown, I think her calf is still open. But, you know, you do worry about a lot of the businesses, and especially businesses like her, because I think Humble Pie has only been open 3 months for people that are just starting out, and that they'd be able to weather this coronavirus storm, so to speak.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to hit the wall. A lot of businesses are going to hit the wall, the small business, you know. Even the big business like Fletcher's, you've heard of Fletcher's, of course, a big building company from New Zealand, and they've lost millions, absolute millions, you know. So when a big company like that loses millions, imagine the effect it's having on the small businesses. It's unbelievable, you know. And some of them, I don't know if they'd be going to be able to weather it. They really don't, you know. It's just so hard.
It is very difficult. And to mention right now, breaking news that's happening here in America, presidential candidate Joe Biden actually picked his vice president yesterday, Kamala Harris, and they are on television right now as we speak. This is the first time that the two of them have been seen together. So there are a lot of people that are very excited about this ticket. You've got your first black woman, your first woman of Indian descent, who is on this ticket. So it certainly has made history here in America. So we'll have to watch that space. And again, all of this is happening right now as we speak, so I didn't want to have this conversation. And of course, people listening saying, hey, wait a minute, Victoria, you didn't mention that. So no, I did not forget about that. Of course, because we do this show weekly, we have a whole list of things that we try to get to and discuss. Also, I think a lot of Americans are going to be happy about this. I know I am. In 50 days, we actually will reach autumn. And I am so excited about that because I am so sick of this 95 and 100 degree weather. It's just taking a toll, I think, not only on me, but a lot of people. And, of course, it's the reverse for you because you're at the downside of winter. So that means you're going to be going into spring. So that should give you some hope because, again, we only have 50 days until we hit autumn here in America.
Well, you know, you're saying that and you're saying you're sick of the heat. I can tell you this morning here it is very, very cool. A grey, dull sort of a morning. They're getting snow down south. And I'm sitting in the studio with my legs wrapped around a heater.
Yeah. And I am sitting inside the office with the air conditioning blasting, and I feel like that I could actually use just a little bit more air. So it is amazing that the difference in the northern and, of course, the southern hemisphere. We are about to reach the top of the hour. If you're joining us, thank you so much for listening to International Connection Media. This is News Talk and Conversation. We're always happy when you have the time to join us, of course, in the chat room. If you have any comments or questions that you would like to ask, shoot, let us know. We're always happy to answer any questions there that you will have. Hey, listen, I know something that people wanted to know, that was about your stove. So your stove was needed to be repaired, so you were out of the stove for what, almost a fortnight, almost 2 weeks? So that's the burning question. Do you have it back?
I do have it back. I do have it back. And the fault they said that was running with the stove was not the fault at all. So all the new parts they put into it, they had to turn around and take out and put the old parts back in because that wasn't the problem. So, the technician came out and changed it all over and everything. I can honestly tell you, he went out the door and he wasn't very happy. He sort of didn't have a very good look on his face, and he didn't say goodbye or anything. I was quite hurt, actually, that he couldn't say goodbye to me. But, well, I suppose he's got to go back and explain to the boss how he made a wrong diagnosis of what was going on with the stove. But it wasn't what he thought it was, and what he thought it was cost a lot of money. So I'm back with my old parts from the stove and a couple of adjustments where it was rubbing and making the funny noise, and fixed up all the where it exploded, and it's all going again. It's good. So I'm really happy with that. I cooked some scones with it the other day and it turned out beautiful. Absolutely fantastic. So I'm very pleased.
Well, that is good news to hear, because of course everyone who listens to the show has been wanting to know, that is the stove back up and working? I want to give a shout out to a gentleman in Oxford, Maryland. His name is Bill Eason. Bill is a retired farmer, but he still plants sunflowers. So sunflowers mm-hmm. right now in America, it's that time of the season. You'll see rows and rows and farm fields and open areas of sunflowers all over the place. So Bill plants sunflowers. His wife died 10 years ago, and she loved sunflowers. So I think sort of in her honor, in her memory, and plus just because he loves doing it, he plants rows of sunflowers. Now, he staggers his, so his sunflowers will actually bloom up until, he said, the end of November, early December, if a frost doesn't get them. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And he doesn't charge anyone to come on his property. You come on the property, you can cut some flowers and buy a vase for $5 if you don't have one. And he just says he goes to the secondhand stores and the opportunity shops and buys more vases and sets them down there. So he's a wonderful gentleman to talk to. So I thoroughly enjoyed my visit. So Bill, just wanted to give you a shout out there as well. Now, something else that I want to talk about. This is not great news, but I think it's worth mentioning. And of course, Stu, you already know this experience that happened to me. I was jogging, running the other day, and there was an old chap who asked me to come over to his truck. Went over, didn't go all the way over, you know, for safety reasons. So to make a long story short, he tried to convince me to get inside his truck and to take me for a ride. And I'll tell you, when he asked me that or was trying to convince me, he had such a sinister look on his face that, of course, I knew, you've got to be crazy. So I was very aggressive. I yelled, said a few swear words that really scared him, and at the end ended up going to the police and telling them about the experience. And they knew exactly the vehicle. So the following day, they said they were going to go over to have a conversation, because they said, you know, at least he needs to know that, you know, you can't be trying to get somebody to go inside your truck. Now, whether, you know, he was ignorant of it or not, but still they needed to have a conversation with him. So I throw that out there just to tell women, always be mindful, always be careful You know, the police officer talked to me and said that's why he doesn't like for women to wear earbuds or, you know, headsets when you're running or you're walking because you're distracted. You're listening to music, you're listening to a podcast, you're listening to Stu and Victoria, and, you know, somebody could easily come up behind you, and there you have it. You're in a van, you're down on the ground, you know, they're dragging you into a wooded area. So I just wanted to put that out there because of my experience that happened. And you know, you're always saying, you know, keep your wits about you. And you'd give that advice to anyone I know, Stu.
You've got to be alert. You've definitely got to be alert. And the other thing is, you know, you think about this gentleman and, well, I wouldn't call him a gentleman. But anyway, think about this guy trying to get you into his truck. And you're an adult. What about your little girls that are running around the parks and that? You know, you've got to think of these poor kids being with this predator out there. Well, I think the police should really come down and nail that guy hard, you know, take him out under observation for a little while and just see what he's up to. And I'm sure they'll get a case to really actually put him behind bars because he's a predator, that's for real.
Yeah, and, you know, he every single thing about him, the way he looked, the way he spoke, you know, his eyes, his movements, every single thing about him said predator to me. So that was my first experience, you know, dealing in something like that. But I'm glad that I was aggressive. I wasn't afraid to speak my mind. I wasn't afraid to yell at him and tell him what I thought. And you know, there were friends of mine that said that day, or perhaps in the future, by me doing that, I could save someone else's life. You know, I don't know if that's the case, but, you know, you just never, ever know. So, ladies, just be careful out there, you know, and you know, give that advice to your girls, to your young girls and kids and, you know, boys and girls. Just be careful because they are always predators that are out there. But I want to end the show on a very good note, and this is something good out of New Zealand that's actually in Washington, D.C., and this was Commodore Dave Gibbs and his wife Paula. Had the opportunity to spend the day with them, show them around Tillman Island and also St. Michael's, Maryland. They had an absolutely wonderful time. I took them to the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum, and the woman who runs that is from Tauranga, and Kristen Greenaway is her name. So to have these two New Zealanders that are in America that are making a difference. You know, Kristen runs this wonderful museum, and then you have the Commodore who works out of the New Zealand Embassy. So to have these two powerhouses meet and, you know, meet discussing something that both of them like, it was wonderful for me to see and wonderful for me to facilitate and to actually get them together and show them around. And the Commodore said to me, he says, you know, that's one thing that I love about Kiwis around the world is that, you know, we're not in each other's pocket, but we make relationships. We know where each other or families are, and, you know, we support each other as much as we can. So I wanted to end with that, you know, despite everything that's happening with the coronavirus there right now. It's wonderful to have two New Zealanders here in America that are really, really making a difference.
Well, that's happy. Good to have some happy news to end the show with. But before we go, I know you've got a nice song lined up to end the show with, and I think we should dedicate that out to Sharon, who is a Kiwi girl working over there in America. And I think that song actually fits in well for her over there, because I know life's really good for her at the moment.
Absolutely. I think you're right. So we're going to go ahead. And what's the name of this song again? It's Delta Goodrich. And what's the name?
And Delta Goodrum, and the song is Sitting on Top of the World.
Here you go. Good night, everyone.